Hi there, and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It's Monday, the 29th of March. I'm Maddie Playle, and I'm joined this week by James Stevens, Mark Boylan, and Graham Byrne from Paddy Power. And it's got to that stage in the season where we're in between different codes, with the jump season coming to a close, Aintree, etc. to come, but also the flat getting underway. And that was the case at Doncaster this weekend with the Lincoln, which is the traditional start of the flat season proper. During this show, we're also going to have a look back on some good racing at Kempton, top class Group 1 action in Dubai, and also the contest at Nace yesterday, which you will need to be keeping an eye on going forward, because Aidan O'Brien seems to have his string very forward this year. So all that and some weak fancies at the end of the show. So let's go into it before further ado. Now, at Doncaster, there was some really competitive racing, and I want to talk about the Doncaster Mile first off, the listed race. It was won by Top Rank, who was a really progressive horse last year. James Tate seems to have brought him along nicely, and I don't think this will be his last win at this sort of level. How high do you think he can go, James? Because often is the case, the miling division, we need some more depth in it, don't we?
Yeah, I thought he was a really, really smart winner on the weekend. I think when you're looking at this sort of time of year, the early sort of milers, it's often quite a difficult one to judge, because you've got horses that will have already had a run going into races like the Queen Anne and the Lockinge. And this guy's already gone out and proven that he's a really, really talented horse. I mean, I thought that was quite a strong race. I know it was only a listed race, but, you know, it didn't feel like a listed race, and it's only to run that way. I think this is a sort of classic case of an improving four-year-old who deserves a place in a race like a Lockinge, and I think would have a really good chance. I mean, it's great for James Tate as well. I know he's never had a Group 1 winner. I thought last year Far Above would be that horse, who looked a really, really exciting prospect when he won on the Palace House at Newmarket on Guineas Day. This horse looks like he could go very, very far, because he's big, he's progressing, and he ticks a lot of boxes for a Lockinge and Queen Anne sort of type horse.
It'll be interesting to see if he can make that step up, won't it? I mean, this wasn't, although it was a listed race, it wasn't, you know, anything like what he's going to face up in class, but he's certainly got more to offer, I think, hasn't he? Let's go on to the Lincoln then itself, the big betting race. It was, well, from the market's perspective, very straightforward, because it went to Hakiki for Benoit de la Say at the £7 claimer, who is on everybody's lips at the moment. It didn't look likely about a furlong out, but he got the better of Brunch for Callum Rodriguez and Michael Dodds, with Hortzadar in third. Now, the real story of this race, as well as it being a big winner, more on John and Thady Gosden in their dual partnership license later on in the show. But this guy does not ride like a claimer, does he, Mark?
No, he's some talent. He's very cool. And I think the confidence he showed to not hit the panic button, even though he had a couple of lengths to find late in the closing stages, he had great faith that the horse was going to pick up for him pretty readily. I thought that was particularly telling. But he's looked that way, sure, for the last few months. Everything we've seen of him, he's just struck us as been very, very cool. It was a really, really enjoyable performance. Look, I know he's got to stay up from this again, but you got the feeling you could be looking at another Lord North type project. I'm not saying he's going to reach those heights immediately, but, you know, John and obviously, you know, Thady Gosden now on the license as well, they bring these horses along, so, you know, nice patient strategy with them. But when they hit this sort of top level, beyond handicap company, you know, you just don't know where the improvement is going to stop. I was really, really taken by this, you know, albeit I don't think it was the strongest Lincoln we've ever seen. You know, I don't think we're looking at another a day beats Lord Litters type of scenario, but this horse does have an awful lot of potential, and, you know, he's going to make his mark at group level. You could say it with plenty of confidence. And what about the man on board, as you said? That was a proper ride for him, but he's really going places, and I can't wait to see how he develops. He even just visually, you know, a lot of riders, you can tell from, you know, if you haven't seen the race before, if you haven't seen the card, you can tell how they look in terms of style. And I think it's really telling with him. You could probably pick out Benoit de la Sayette just from looking at a race, regardless of, you know, whether you know he's in it or not. You can look at the riders and you can say, that's probably him. He's got a lovely, lovely, smooth, silky style.
He has. People suggesting perhaps he modelled himself on Frankie Dettori. Well, that's not a bad place to start. In terms of what this race meant for the bookmakers, Graham, I mean, Hakiki, he was a long-range fancy for this race, SP of 9-2, but the favourite Eastern World at 5-2, he was back in 11th. Disappointing for him. What did you make of this race?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what you say, because Hakiki, I know hindsight's a wonderful thing. He did look a group horse in the making. Very weak, opened up 130, I think, and drifted all the way out to 92 and did it very nicely. And it will be interesting to see what the Gosdens do with De La Sayette's claim going forward, because this fella claiming seven is an absolute steal in a race like this. Will be interesting to see where he goes forward from this. I think we could see him possibly face against Top Rank further down the line. I know Top Rank has been aimed at the Lockinge. The times were very similar on Saturday as well. And I think Top Rank might have had a little problem with that claim that De La Sayette had. So I would be seeing further on in the season, it wouldn't surprise me to see Top Rank and Hadiki clash going forward from here.
Okay, so it is important, although it's early stages, these races really could have an impact as we go through the season. What about the Camage Trophy then? Good old friend Brando in here, the nine-year-old, he was making his seasonal reappearance against the likes of Summergand, the Stewards' Cup winner from last season, Emiratiana, but it was Royal Commando for Charlie Hills who came out on top. This four-year-old had some good bits and pieces of form last year, but not sure he was quite entitled to win this. What do you think of the sprinting division this season, James? Again, we're always hoping that there's new blood coming forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite convinced Royal Commando is going to be the one that's going to light it up. I think he's sort of a horse that had his race, things went in his favour, and he just finished the race off well. I mean, as you say, Brando, and so the sprinting division's an amazing one, isn't it? Because you get those good old names coming back year after year. It's one of the reasons why we love the jumps and such. I mean, I'm personally excited to see Supremacy, the horse of Clive Cox's this season. I thought he was sort of electric last year, and what he can do in that division, we know what Clive Cox can do, but what this horse could do will be really, really interesting. He's the one that sort of I'm looking forward to seeing the most. But yeah, he's got a long way to go to reach the top level. But in terms of the sprinters I'm looking forward to, that's certainly one for me.
Okay, fantastic. And sticking with you, James, we'll whiz over to Kempton now, because there was a deeply impressive winner. And again, it's John and Thady Gosden with Global Giant. Now, this horse has been pretty well travelled, and you know a lot about him. I mean, this was this a career best, do you think? It must be close to it. He was very, very easy winner.
Yeah, I suppose it probably was a career best, actually. The reason I know him well is I did Bahrain last year, and this horse is owned by Bahraini Connections. Their aim and their dream was to buy a horse to win the Bahrain Trophy, and they got within a neck last year, beaten by a really, really well-executed ride from an outsider called Simsir. This horse was so unlucky that day. I mean, he was a big hot fancy over there. They all thought this was the horse to do it, and he was beaten by a horse trained 100 yards from the track. So it was a bit of a disappointment for them. So I would love to see this horse go back and win that race. He looks a real sort of group class animal, doesn't he? He the way he raced there, I suppose, yeah, it was a career best. He's a progressive horse as well, and I know that long range target is going to be in mind, but you know, there are a lot of winnable group races in Britain, and you know, a race like the Prince of Wales or something like that, after what he did on Saturday, I think he deserves his place in it, because he looks like he's got all the sort of credentials you'll need for that sort of top grade race. He's an exciting horse, but yeah, they're firmly on mind of going one better in the end of the season, that's for sure.
Yeah, fantastic. But as you say, good races to be picked up with a horse of that nature anyway. Now, the Rosebery Handicap was another good contest on that card, and it was won super easily by Al Zarakan for Richard Kingscote and William Haggis. Now, this is a race that can produce some really nice horses. I thought one horse in particular was a big eye catcher in behind, but I'll go to Graham on this one. I mean, he was the evens favourite, Graham, but I think this was a real dominant performance, and he could be one for the big handicaps later on in the season. What do you think?
Yeah, he could be. I mean, it's hard to know what target he's going to go for, judging from Willie Haggis's comments afterwards. He could even step him up and trip. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But it does look as though he's got the world at his feet. Going back to Global Giant, after the race, John Gosden sort of was suggesting that the Earl of Sefton, a group three at Newmarket, might be its next target. Gosden has won that race four times, most recently with Masood back in 2016. So the options look a little bit clearer for Global Giant. Al Zarakan will be interesting to see what they do with that one.
Yeah, indeed. My eye catcher was a real favourite of mine. He'd been off for quite a long time. He used to be with William Knight Soto Sizzler, now with David Menizier. He ran a really eye-catching race after a long, long break, and he could go back to a race like the Great Metropolitan at Epsom. He won that race before. Loves that track. So add him to your trackers, I reckon. We're going to take a quick pause now, but stick with us because we're going to go through some top quality racing from Dubai just after this.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. We're all treated to some superb action on Super Saturday at Maidan this weekend. Let's start off with the Dubai Gold Cup. It was won by Subjectivist, a horse who already had a Grade 1, or rather Group 1 victory on his CV. But this was dominant from Joe Fanning from the front. It seemed that he got his sectionals spot on, but the horse was very gallant as well in his response, and he won by nearly 6 lengths in the end. He was trimmed to about 8-1, I think, for the Gold Cup at Ascot later on in the season. These Mark Johnson horses, I mean, he had DXB a couple of years ago, Graham. I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more about him as the turf season gets underway.
Yeah, absolutely. A very impressive performance tonight for Joe Fanning to get a big, huge winner out there. Very lucrative prize money. And what can you say? Did it very nicely indeed. Went from the front and, as you said, got all the fractions spot on for that one. And you'd have to think, because a lot of people were saying that this is ground dependent, it was the soft ground, it won't suit it out in Maidan. It was a big drift around the betting. I think it drifted all the way out to 13-2. But it has proved it's versatile with the ground, and it's going to be a big player in all these big cup races coming forward throughout the year.
Yeah, and the Dubai turf went the way of Lord North. He was sent off the 11-8 favourite. Now, this horse last year's Prince of Wales Stakes winner, of course, didn't have the most difficult job on his hooves here in this race, because it's fair to say some of the horses in behind aren't quite up to his level. But he showed that dominant turn of foot that we're so used to seeing from him in Britain. And I imagine a lot of similar targets will be on the agenda again this season. Do you think Lord North could well be still improving, Mark? Or do you think, I mean, what level do you think he's up to? Because I could imagine on the back of this anyway, he'll be pretty solid standard in Group 1s.
Oh, yeah, which, like, his Prince of Wales performance last year was pretty exceptional. I know it didn't work out for Japan, who was favoured on the day, but, like, this fella is top, top notch when he brings his A game. Like, you know, maybe a slight criticism could be that he can be a little bit in and out at times, you know, at the very highest level. You know, he is very effective when bringing his very best. But we just a bit more consistency perhaps this season. Although, look, I don't mean to be crabbing him too unfairly. He's been running well around the world. But I think this sort of scenario suits him very well. And it just makes me think even more when I fancy Berenger for the Cambridgeshire and thought briefly I was going to beat him, how foolish I was. He fairly tied him that day. But look, one thing that struck me from this performance, I just love to see him go back to a mile at some stage. I know Palace Pier probably in terms of that mile division, although I haven't heard a huge amount about him so far this season. It's early days, but... you know, obviously for a Queen Anne type of scenario, he'd be an obvious kind of standout. But, you know, this fella, I'd love to see him back in a straight mile at Ascot. I think he'd be really, really exciting to see. He's definitely got gears, like, and, you know, obviously he's no problem with decent ground too. But I can understand if you have Palace Pier and maybe go back again for a Prince of Wales is to try and do it. But I think he's actually most effective over this sort of trip rather than stretching his stamina a little bit. I think he's got loads and loads of gears. I think it'd be interesting to see. Could be wrong, but would just like to see him back in trip a little bit again. He's really, really impressive in the circumstances.
I agree with that. His acceleration's his strong point, isn't it? But one horse, I mean, fantastic performance that we're going to talk about now from Mishriff in the Longines Dubai Shima Classic. This horse, from winning, you know, the race he won out in Riyadh, for winning the Saudi Cup, you know, such a tough race on the dirt, that really hard-fought victory over a mile and one, and then to go back to the turf over a mile and a half against the likes of Chronogenesis and Love's Only You, two fantastic mares from Japan. They always get underrated on the global stage, but they do have a fantastic record in races like this. And, you know, solid horses from Godolphin, Walton Street, Dubai Future, Star Safari, and even Mogul. I mean, he was slightly disappointing. We'll speak to Mark about his performance in just a sec. But James, this is incredible campaigning from John and Thady Gosden, isn't it? With a horse like Mishriff, this is so exciting. You don't often see horses do what he's done.
No, and we talk a lot about prize money at the minute, and this guy has certainly picked up his fair share, hasn't he? in terms of Saudi and then Dubai, I think it's going to be quite difficult. And I think it's only going to know maybe in 5 or 6 years how difficult it is to sort of go from Saudi over to Dubai and do the double. I think it's going to be tricky, and it's probably going to get even more difficult when people realize how sort of valuable it is. You know, this was a horse last year who had gone and won a French Derby and then had run next time on really, really heavy ground. So he's proven he's got a bit of everything. I suppose there was questions coming into this season because he was so disappointing at Ascot on Champions Day, but he's certainly answered them. And, you know, credit to David Egan. I mean, we talked, you know, about John Gosden and Fady and such and their jockeys earlier in the day. But David Egan is 21 years old. He's gone over to these, you know, these different parts of the world, and he's absolutely smashed it with two cracking rides. I thought his one on Saturday was probably the best ride of his career. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. He timed it to perfection, and my God, he's earned a big salary, but he certainly earned it.
He did indeed, and good to see the owner keeping the faith with him. Obviously, there was the story with Dettori taking over last year. Now, where would you go next with Mishriff, Mark? Because there's so many options. I mean, the arc you'd like to think is the end of season target. I'm not sure, and it's crazy to say this given he's just won a Shima Classic over a mile and a half, but I think 10 furlongs could be his optimum trip. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's dead a mile and a half, but I think probably his best trip could be the 10. Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I think in terms of stamina, maybe there's going to be more stern examinations of his stamina over this trip. He definitely stays a mile and a half. He's answered that question fine. But, you know, in a King George type scenario where stamina might be put under more pressure, that could be a question. But I do think he's just an awesome horse, isn't he? Like, what he's done in terms of versatility, you know, to a mile and one on the dirt, and then you go a mile and a half on the turf, and you're still beating some of the, even from a pace scenario, he's able to lie up with the Americans going a million in front of the dirt, and then he's able to switch off and do what he did back on grass. I just thought it was, you know, one in moments you really have to appreciate what you're seeing. I know it's early in the season, I know there's some people who still have the jumps hats on, and it's hard to be switching between the two at times, but this was just, I thought this was an awesome performance. You know, albeit, you know, as you mentioned, Mogul was disappointing. I think he lacked daylight, and again, he's a horse when a gallop is at its strongest, as you saw last year in the Grand Prix de Paris. When the gallop is at its strongest, he comes into his best, and I think he'll prefer, there'll be other times for him this season. Even, you know, looking at him physically, he's such a big boy. He's going to come on with more running, more racing. I'm sure they didn't give him any great opportunity to go and put on the pounds over the winter. I know he was at Dundalk there a month or so ago, and he obviously in Hong Kong only in the late winter stages as well. So I know it hasn't been a big break, but I do think he's a horse that will thrive on racing. You saw that last season, and I wouldn't give up hope with him. Like when they do have this sort of opinion of these horses, you know, it's not that often that they are off the mark by some degree, so I wouldn't give up on him. But geez, Mr. Where you go, like, all options are open, all continents, all surfaces. It's unbelievable to have a horse as versatile as him and as talented as him.
And credit to Connections for giving this a go, because that's what we want. We want ambitious campaigning, don't we? And he set a new course record in the process as well. Before we go over to Graham, worth mentioning, he could have run in the Dubai World Cup. That was eventually won by Mystic Guide. Probably not the strongest edition of this race, beat the Japanese raider Chuaz Wizards and Magni Kors, who was having his first run on the surface. But what was your reaction, Graham, to just some wonderful performances at Maidan?
Yeah, what a day's racing it was. Absolutely incredible. And as Mark was saying, Mishriff, what a just a dream horse to own, how versatile he is. It did have his stamina questions to answer. That's why it went off a 4-1 shot for the race. And what a battle I had with those Japanese horses, Chronogenesis. And that was a triple grade one winner for the Japanese camp. So it's beaten a proper one there. Going forward, I mean, all options are open, but at the end of the season, the owner's ambitious. Surely he's got to be thinking about the arc, and it's into 8-1 from 16-1 Mishriff for the arc.
Thank you very much, Graham. And let's go over to the more domestic action now then, because I know Mark wants to talk about what happened at Nace yesterday. And wow, if you saw the first race, you were pretty instantly blown away. Well, I certainly was anyway, with Tenebrism. Am I pronouncing that right? I believe it's some sort of musical reference, given that this filly is by Caravaggio, the first season sire. And this was an electric performance, because she looked all at sea and then absolutely stormed home under Shamie Heffernan to win at 7-2. And I know it's early days, but she will be in the sort of group of horses we're going to be talking about looking forward to Royal Ascot, I bet. Talk to me about this performance, Mark, because it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm far from an artistic expert now either, but I think it's, looking up there yesterday, I think it's a style of painting that was actually developed by Caravaggio, so that's pretty cool in terms of naming. And obviously, out of Immortal Verse, she was some Queen Anne performance. She was top-notch. But the manner in which she's gone through this performance here at Tenebrism, like, I know we're early days in the season, but the means in which the Ballydial machine is rolling along at the moment, my God, you'd have to be so impressed. Like, they're really, really firing, and you know, strike rate has been very, very impressive considering the early stages of the season, when often we'd kind of consider them, you know, that phrase, ready to start back, you know. And I think last year, maybe with the delays to COVID, we were coming back, we weren't, you know, in terms of dates resumption, we weren't sure. I don't think that did Aidan's 2-year-olds any harm. He's been on the record as saying that he wasn't happy with how their season was managed, I suppose, by virtue of COVID. But this filly, I mean, if this is a sign of things to come, I think obviously the comments afterwards from Aidan were that he's always thought a fair bit of her. She's always been one of the nicer ones that they've had. But like, to be so green, so looking in such trouble in the early stages of the race, and it just looked like natural ability took her through the race and saw her power and clear. Like, she's won by nearly 4 lengths pulling up at the line. You know, I thought that was a serious, serious performance. And I know you can at risk of maybe over-exaggerating things this early in the season, considering there is such a, you know, we haven't seen the full set of evidence to play with when we come to Royal Ascot. But if she isn't in the mix for one of them big Ascot fillies races come the summer, I'd be very, very disappointed. That was a really, really taken performance.
I'd be disappointed too. Now, a horse that our listeners will be familiar with is Broom, and he made a winning reappearance. James, I'll go to you on this one, because it does seem that from the limited information we have, Aidan O'Brien, he tends to run his horses into fitness, but this year they're coming out all guns blazing, and Broom, this was an easier assignment than some that he's taken on, but he could take another step up into that Group 1 company this year on this basis anyway.
Yeah, I have to say, I certainly wasn't expecting that yesterday. I sort of watched it just sort of wondering how he got on. I certainly didn't expect him to win in the manner he did, because I remember looking at him and thinking maybe they're going to be hoping he's a stayer, because he ran in the 2-mile race on Champions Day. So, no, this was a very take performance. And you know, as you said about Aidan O'Brien, you know, they certainly do seem forward. I mean, the horse that I'm particularly interested in this season is his horse Santa Barbara, who just appears to be absolutely smashed in the betting for the guineas. I've just seen an email where they said she's now 2-1 from 10-1. So if Mark can shed some light on what she's doing at home, I'd be certainly very pleased to hear about that.
No state secret, isn't it? I think Kevin Blake's at the Race of Stable Tour, where he's referenced some outrageous comments, I suppose you could say, in terms of positivity, you know, referencing the fact that she looks like a 5-year-old colt. Just there's constant, the praise is, I thought it was rare praise coming from Aidan, and you know, whether that's what's driving the market move, I don't know, but you know, comments like, you know, she toys with her horses and with the horses she works with, you know, things like that don't often come from Aidan's mouth at this stage of the season with a filly. So obviously she has an outstanding reputation, and Shamey Heffernan was pretty much vocal about that when she won at the Curragh as well. I think in the family of Iridesa, Order of Australia, and he reckoned that there was a chance that she could be the best of them. So that's very, very high praise indeed.
Yeah, I saw those comments, and straight away I thought, that's interesting, because you don't often say that about a horse who's just won a maiden. She looked very, very good there. I mean, it's going to be bad news for you, isn't it, Graham, if Santa Barbara goes in that Phillies Classic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, it will be bad news. But we still don't know how many other strings to his bow Aidan O'Brien has at the moment. Going back to Broom, only had a couple of races last year. It looks like it's more forward this year. It has the options of the alleged stakes. Even the Tattersall's Gold Cup could be a possible one for Broom going further on that. And I can't let us get away from the action at Nace without mentioning our old friend Mark Boylan. What a tip he put up last week. Opponent plays 12-1 in that Lodge Park Group 3 race. Mark, take a bow, son.
The rare moment we will, yeah.
Definitely take a bow, Mark. We've had some great tipping on this show recently. It does pay to follow us. And more of that as well in just a moment's time.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we're getting to that stage where we've got both jumps action and flat action. We've got some good action at Fairy House coming up on Sunday, their big festival just around the corner, of course, and various ports of call. We could even see Envoy Allen At Easter as well, that the Jockeys Championships are hotting up over jumps as well, and so much to look forward to. We've got the on Friday we have the Good Friday Finals Day card as well, and lucrative that card is. But let's get some highlights from the Irish lads, because I think that's what most people's eyes will be on going on to this weekend. Mark, what are you most looking forward to?
Irish Grand National on Monday is always a race. Well, it's one I've struggled to find a winner of down through the years, but I've had a stab in the paper during the week there at Sempo at 33, and there's been good market support for him. I'm sure Graham will tell you. I think he's close to single figure price at the moment. There's been good money for him, it seems. And my colleague Brian Sheeran over here, a day later, he says he hadn't seen my thing the previous day, and he also put him up for the race. Just looks to have a lovely handy weight in the Irish National. You know, run behind Scarlett and Dove, where, you know, he would have been really, really questioned over that trip of 2 miles, and he stayed on really, really well from an unpromising position, albeit maybe the race fell apart a little bit from a place perspective. But just, you know, he's sixth in Albert Bartlett, he's sixth in the champion bumper to your Envoy Allens of the world as well. You know, he's a very, very classy horse in his day, and I just think he's in the sort of territory now where you have a race that's worth 400,000 this season, and that's well worth circling on the calendar in terms of the seasonal target. I just get the feeling that the whole year is pointed towards this. And if Tiger Roll runs, he'll have an absolute featherweight. And even if he doesn't, he's still going to have be towards the foot of them. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Sempo does. And next Monday's Irish Grand National, it should be a cracker.
Yeah, you're reading from the same hymn sheet as me. I put Sempo up in one of my weekender columns just before the festival, thinking he might turn up there. But clearly this has always been the plan for him. So I was off the beat on that one. But he's a horse I've been long keeping my eye on, such as his good novice form over hurdles. You know, as you mentioned, champion bumper and indeed over fences, which he seems to have slowly got the hang of. Graham, run us through your market for that race.
Yeah, I mean, what a race this promises to be. It's one of the best-looking Irish Grand Nationals that I can remember. Head of the market is Latest Exhibition. Interesting runner, to put it mildly. That's 11-2. Sempo, they must be all listening to you. This has been smashed up over the weekend. 20-1 into 8-1. Then we have Longhouse Poet been nibbled at 9-1. Run Wild Fred, who's got good Tyestes form. That is a 10-1 shot home by the Lee, also 10-1. Tiger Roll been nibbled at 14-1 into 10-1. And Cocoa Beach, another one, of course, a fascinating runner, that one, 11-1. Then we have the likes of Ascari, Area 10, Firecly, Galvin, all at 12-1, and bigger prices to rest. But it's going to be fascinating to see who turns up at this one. And it is, of course, the Irish Grand National on Easter Monday.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. So many sort of unexposed novices going in and clashing heads in this race. James, what about you? Have you got any thoughts on the week ahead?
Yeah, I've been looking more locally and more specifically on Good Friday. I do like that card at Lingfield. I think it's a really, really good day, and I'm quite glad to see it. The horse I'm particularly looking forward to, and the first bet I've heard of the week, is a horse called Lampang in the sprint race at 3:10. If you watch his race back at Subtle last time, he was really, really unlucky, sort of fell out the stalls and was never going to win. That was over 5 as well, so it was probably not his trip either. And he still ran really well to finish second. If you go back through his form, he's got some really, really smart efforts, including a second in a listed race at Lingfield on the all-weather. I think he's an improving horse. He's got a bit to find on ratings, but he's certainly one of the most unexposed horses in the lineup. He's about 8-1, I can see him at. So I think he's a good chance of there. And also Mighty Gurkha runs on the same card. I was at Lingfield. It's my first day racing after the lockdown, where Mighty Gurkha won on debut. It was absolutely breathless. It was breathtaking. It was an unbelievable performance. Not quite been the same since, never quite lived up to the hype, but a course and distance winner and seems to be at his best on the all weather. So he's another one I'd be looking forward to.
Yeah, he seems to hold his form quite well, that horse, doesn't he? Just not quite the top level, but very admirable nonetheless. Thanks for that, everyone. Now let's get some naps down.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, we'll go to you first, Mark. You're going to cheat and go for something on Irish Grand National Day on Monday, or are you going to pick something before then?
There's a little bit of doubt, I suppose, over the weekend as to exactly whether we're going to see the likes of Envoy Allen. And obviously, there's that Grade 1 Mares Novice hurdle as well at Fairy House, with some of the Cheltenham Novice Mares potentially lined up there. But just it's a bit of a uncertain picture at the moment. I stick with Manor Stosser to home. There's a filly in at Dundalk on Wednesday called Aroha. Interesting to see his giant Paddy Toomey from Brian Meehan. Ran to a very, very decent standard over there. It didn't get its head in front in 13 starts, but it still managed to achieve a rating of 101. comes in here now in a maiden and it's drawn one. Obviously, look, there are plenty of kind of exposed types in these sort of maidens this time of year. And, you know, any market support for her, any confidence there. There's a couple that, are lurking there, I suppose. There was a horse of James McCauley's called Meshar, who came home well to be second at the Curra. But just in the eye-catching nature, that potentially could give it the possibility of being a little overbet. I just think Aroha, Paddy Toomey, very, very capable operator. And if he can get her back to something like her old form, she should be able to pick up that maiden at Dundalk on Wednesday in the 6:30.
Thanks very much, Mark. Going for two in a row. What about you, Graham?
I am going to cheat. I'm going to go to the Irish Grand National. I'm going to go for a little bit of a price here because we are paying five places in that. But I'm going to side with Espinito Bello here for Barry Connell. Now, we know he's been a big owner for years, but Barry suddenly decided to start training his own horses. And Espinito Bello has really impressed me this year. It beat Cocoa Beach in a beginner's chase at Nace. That was over 2 miles three. It was stepped up next time at Navan, where Cocoa Beach turned the tables on it. But what it proved to me that day is that it does have stamina, Espinito Bello. And at the prices at 16-1, I think this one can stay on into a place in the Irish Grand National.
Ooh, bit of a dark horse there. And James, what about in Britain?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my fancies on Good Friday. So Lampang, as previously mentioned, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, but hopefully I'll be pronouncing it right if he wins at Freetown at Lingfield on Friday. An improving horse, still unexposed, and yeah, quite a nice prize considering he could be a lot better than what he's previously shown.
Yeah, highly rated, isn't he, Lampang? I think you are pronouncing that right. Thanks very much all for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful Easter period. Bruce and the team will be back as usual on Friday, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.